This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
This Pentecost Sunday, once more we turn to Peter for another perspective. And Dr. Wyatt will share the truth that the Holy Spirit is for as many as the Lord God calls.
Thank you, Dennis. And yes, this is once more Pentecost Sunday. Sharon's reading is, of course, from the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And we will do our best to see something fresh as we will spend some time in this chapter. Do stay with us.
Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other words and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved.
Thank you so much, Sharon. This is, of course, Pentecost Sunday, our celebration as Christians of the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Often this day is perceived as the birth of the church, but that would only be true if the church is viewed as identical with Christianity or with water baptism. For certainly nothing we would read about here would be recognized as the church. What is occurring is, as Peter is saying, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last day, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It is about God's infilling his people with his spirit, empowering, enabling, equipping, and sending out the believers to reach out and evangelize. And all this by his spirit. It is all about proclaiming this good news of Jesus Christ. We then celebrate Pentecost for this singular event, the coming of the Spirit to abide with and, yes, in the believer. No longer is the Spirit confined to the few, those especially separated, anointed, and consecrated by God, those whom he has called as either prophet or, earlier in Israel's history, set apart as priests. Now all who believe are to be so set apart, consecrated, and anointed for God's calling. For now, as we have learned, we are all priests unto God. All believers have been blessed to some ministry. All can and should hear God's voice, his calling. This call of God, this anointing, this consecration, of course, is not because of our worthiness, but always because of God's grace. And here at this moment, This day of Pentecost, the awesome power of God, the power manifested in the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, this power is now freely bestowed upon the people of God. Yet this event has for our day birthed controversy, for there are recorded here some unique elements, events that are beyond the experience of almost anyone, inscrutably and clearly miraculous. As unique as is Jesus, so too just as unique are the beginnings of the Christian movement. For is this not about God's Spirit? This gift of God, this initial outpouring, just could not be stoic, prosaic, common, or boring. It is nothing like what is the experience of many in church. Here, events have loudly intensified themselves, sounds that draw a large crowd, which is why this whole event is not in some small upper room, but has moved quickly to the temple area, one of the places, a site, one probably used by Jesus himself, in what has been called the portico of Solomon. And here the timid find their voice. Here the Spirit will guide and healings will occur. Here the proclamation becomes noticeable and extremely effective, and it will bring the hostile attention of the temple authorities and will soon bring about the martyred death of James and Stephen. Obviously, this is not the church we experience, not the Christianity most of us are acquainted with, and perhaps with the attention, the incredible growth, the imprisonments and killing, not something we would even relish or certainly embrace. And this, I do believe, is true, and is why we don't see the same power, the same kind of events. For the Holy Spirit is the catalyst for all of this. And believe me, the Spirit has not changed. We have. The Spirit can and just might want to do so. But most would confine, restrict, organize, and order the Spirit of God to the point of making our gatherings, our assemblies as a church, our walking and abiding in the Spirit anything but invigorating, stimulating, exciting, empowering, and oh yes, not a little dangerous. Dangerous in that it will change you, change those you come in contact with, actually see God's hand of healing, hear God's word, and see the resulting awesome effect of God working through His Spirit. I fear we also in no way want to be perceived as inebriated, looked down upon, or dismissed as crazy, even if as then many will express a fascination and want to hear more. That some might think you are slightly off or drunk is just not acceptable and demeaning. Is that why so many today have never been lost in the Spirit's moving, being deeply and utterly surprised by the Spirit's working, or experienced the Spirit's empowerment in His Word? It is hardly a shock that the Holy Spirit is unsettling and deeply threatening, not just to the world, but many in Christianity. Where comes this hesitancy to embrace and walk in a life of the Spirit? Is it simply the stigma of what is called Pentecostalism, the image of the Holy Roller? Or is it a reticence to follow the leading of something that might ask you to really get down to business as a Christian and quit playing at church? Then it might be a hostility from the leadership that really doesn't want, as Paul declares, as you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a message in tongues, or an interpretation. Obviously, that was what the Apostle Paul wanted of the Corinthian church, but I am sure most churches today wouldn't welcome such openness, even if, as Paul says, let all things be done for edification. The truth is the Holy Spirit, this outpouring of the Spirit that many believe was the beginning of the Christian church, is not something we find operating very openly or moving in any obvious way in most of our churches. We have to keep to the program, or so we believe. The announcements must fit in before the second hymn, and we must collect the offering. And don't forget the special music. These dear people have worked so hard. And of course, the minister must deliver the sermon. 3 points, its application, all with endearing humor. After all, he has to earn his salary. And it all cannot last longer than 55 minutes, because the ladies have prepared such a nice little reception following the service. Or room has to be made in the parking lot for the next service. One must wonder, is there a place for the moving of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit, or the witness to His power? The truth is, we don't know the Spirit that well, or we wouldn't be so hesitant, fearful of His calling, or afraid of the images and excesses that we have only heard about and never really actually seen. But the outpouring of the Spirit then at Pentecost, and if only we would allow it, the Spirit's coming even now is a miracle, one of signs, wonders, empowerment, and can and should remake our churches. Instead, we confine, restrict, and internalize the Spirit. It's okay in your devotion, your prayer life, but we must be in control in the public services, as if our control is really better spiritually. But the Holy Spirit must also be allowed to be public. We need the fire, the rushing wind, the loud and passionate proclamation of what Jesus has done and will do. The Holy Spirit must not be shelved or stilled. As Peter stood up and declared, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. How dare we behave and act as if we prefer to pigeonhole the Spirit of God? We seem to be saying we can't be bothered, that there is no room. We don't want that loud praise, that passion and intensity. We already know all we need to know. We already have all that we need to experience or have all that God has for us. How presumptuous, how arrogant. The Spirit matters. It matters in how we live, how we react, how we witness, how we proclaim, how God uses us. And never forget, it is the fulfillment of prophecy. In truth, everything that is Christianity is the fulfillment of prophecy, for Jesus is that fulfillment, and so is the church. And it is all by the Spirit's calling, working, and empowerment. And by the Spirit, at long last, the mission, the calling of Israel to bless all nations, the work of Jesus as Messiah, is all brought to fulfillment. And what happened as Peter rose to speak leaves no doubt as to the moving of God's Spirit and its power. Peter's words have a power, a divine conviction upon the crowd. They witness the power in the very Word of God. For the Spirit exists in the faithful proclamation of the gospel, a power present in that very word, in one's preaching, witness, and sharing of that word. Here, as Peter proclaims the gospel message, the Spirit's presence convicts many of those who hear. We hear of upwards of 3,000. This change in some of those who hear cannot come from themselves. It is not a natural inclination or desire. It would not be what would be normally experienced. This is the Spirit's doing. And all we can do, as all have done who see, no matter on what scale, we must just marvel at the power of God's Word. And from this day forward, the Spirit is loose in the world. At first they ask, it is more a plea, brothers, what shall we do? We regret, we are crushed that we allowed, perhaps even encouraged, this crucifixion. And now you say He is risen. Indeed, we have heard the story. Some have even gone to see the empty tomb. Now we have heard you, and we are cut to the heart. What shall we do now? Peter replies, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Here we find it all brought together. Repent, believe, and be baptized, and you will receive the Spirit. Always the Spirit is there. It has to be. Or the repentance, the forgiveness of sin, even the water baptism, is a mere shadow of the true substance. How can there be true belief, true repentance, thus true baptism, true faith, without the working, moving, and enablement of the Holy Spirit? How can any of this truly be real, valid, invoking true feelings, true change, true salvation without the Spirit? This day of Pentecost began with the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out to those 120 who were assembled. It would conclude with the gift of reconciliation for those, many of whom had been compliant with the crucifixion. But that is not all. Here the Spirit is freely offered to all who believe, to those present, their children, and those far off in the future, as many as the Lord God calls. This is not something confined back then, never. Let us not be fearful of the challenge the Spirit presents. God's love changes everything anyway. Why not allow His Spirit to lead us further into His grace, wonder, and His calling? Fear not that you will be asked to go off to some distant or dangerous mission field or do something you are totally unprepared for. God, His Spirit, never calls one to something you have not known deep inside you are meant to do. And perhaps that is the reason for the fear you know. Be it a Sunday school class, feeding a needy child, taking the Bible to your next door neighbor, or to a foreign field. You really have known all along. Nor do I have any time for those who in their leadership leave no place for the Holy Spirit. Shame! Don't fear God's Spirit. How silly. Allow the moving. Be ready to throw the church program away. You'll be better for it, as will the church. It really won't hurt if things are jumbled a bit. Services run a little longer. The offering becomes an afterthought, and you ask them to hand their gifts to the usher as they leave, if they even want to leave. And what a surprise that would be. Oh, allow the Holy Spirit to work, move, and touch lives. Which brings us to that fear of excessiveness or emotionalism. The Holy Spirit never brings dishonor on anyone or brings attention to any single individual. If one seems excessive or inappropriate, if what is happening does not bring edification or a spiritual uplift to the service, mark it well, it is not the Holy Spirit, but the flesh. That is Paul's entire purpose in his first letter to the Corinthians. He would bring fleshly exhibitionism under control. Don't ever be afraid of stopping the flesh, but neither be afraid of people being blessed, encouraged, or responsive to the wonder, the mystery that is the Holy Spirit. Because we need that fire, the wind, and the praise of God's Spirit moving in our midst. We don't need staleness, stodginess, or sameness anymore. For Peter has said, this Holy Spirit is for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Him. O Lord, let us be ever open to the Spirit's moving. Lord, let our churches be afire again, that the Spirit would bring conviction and empowerment and send us out in the world fully equipped to bring about Thy kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, all for Your glory forever. Amen and amen.
On this Pentecost Sunday, let us never forget, dismiss, or worse, remain ignorant of just what it is that our Lord would bestow upon us. Despite our weaknesses and frequent failures, His Spirit will enable and empower us for His purpose in His world. That is our calling. We are all to be His representatives and are to do even greater works in His name. To aid you in your calling, Dr. Wyatt is offering his study, The Holy Spirit, Who, What, and How. Here is a concise and biblical look at the very person of the Holy Spirit. It can be yours at no charge. Just write and ask for The Holy Spirit, Who, What, and How. Dear ones, you know how much we appreciate all of your prayers and sincere graciousness. To those who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing Outreach, we pray you would seriously consider being included in our Wings of Healing family. Supporting this ministry makes you an integral part of God's work that brings help and the Word to so many here and abroad. Please join with us, won't you? Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. On Pentecost Sunday, it is time to look back and see just how far Christ's church has come. and now stretches around the world, even to the darkest corners. This was made clear by our website, which has our newsletter and weekly broadcasts easily available. For we have received this from Abraham of Jordan, who has written, "Dr. Wyatt, I want to commend your broadcast. Your teaching is clear and convincing. Please continue. I want to learn more. Please send what literature you can." Abraham listed several, which we have sent. It shows just how the world has gotten so very small. And if you would like to learn, just ask for our list of publications. Dennis will give our addresses. But now Brooke Litterwood performs a great newer hymn, "A Thousand Hallelujahs." So until next week, do be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering appropriately for this Pentecost Sunday his study, "The Holy Spirit, What, Why, and How." Here is laid out just who is the Holy Spirit and why he is so important to our lives as Christians. We urge those who are seeking all that the Lord has for us to write and ask for the book, "The Holy Spirit, Who, What, and How."
It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.